I want to mention that seeing as tonight is Yom HaZikaron, there was a program for everybody who wanted to could go online and pick someone who fell during one of Eretz Israel's wars, So my family picked a man named Shlomo Brodo, not somebody that people would know, Ben Chaya V'Yitzchak, who passed away in 1948, actually. He was part of Eitzel. And so I want to dedicate at least my portion of this learning in his memory. If any of you picked someone, you can dedicate your own half of the learning experience in their memory. And our learning should be a zchut for all of those who fell in service of Medina Israel and Chel Hashem. Okay, let's begin. We're looking here at Shabbos Nun Aleph Amud Aleph and Nun Aleph Amud Bet. I hope that we'll be able to do at least this Amud and half of the next Amud. The next Amud looks like this. So we should be able to finish. It's the end of the Perek. This was Daf Yomi yesterday. So anybody who's doing Daf Yomi already learned this Daf, but we're going to do it a little bit more in depth. We're going to cover, I hope, three main sugyot. One of them has to do with Hatmana, that's the fire. One of them has to do with Sheleg, or Kerach, which is the ice. And the other has to do with Adam Chashuv, which is in the middle over here, which I think we're going to spend the most time on, because that's, to me, was the most interesting. Okay.
The picture?
Yeah, it's fine.
So the subject that the Mishnah begins with is a subject that it has already been talking about. It's the topic of the whole Perek. We're in Bamet Tomnin. Hatmana is essentially an Isur Derabanan that the rabbis came up with, that you're not allowed to insulate hot food for the purpose of keeping it hot or making it hotter. And there are two halves to this gezeirah. One half is what takes place on Shabbat. On Shabbat, you're not allowed to insulate the food at all, even with something that's not going to make it hotter, even with something that's just going to maintain that heat. Just for our purposes, insulate means to cover it completely and tightly. So, for example, putting something in an oven is not hatmana. Maybe a different problem, but it's not hatmana because there's lots of space in the oven. On the other hand, covering it with lots of towels, et cetera, could be a problem. They make these blankets nowadays. They call them Shabbos blankets or something, which you're supposed to put. And many people are choshesh that it's hatmana. So you write L'chavad Shabbos on this blanket, and then you do an Isur Derabanan. It could be that it's not, because there's lots of space and it's not covering the whole thing. It's only covering the top, but it's just a little bit ironic. Anyways, that's the problem on Shabbat. Before Shabbat, you are allowed to be matmin with something that is not mosif hevel, which means that it doesn't increase heat, so it only would maintain the heat, but you are not allowed to be matmin with something that will increase heat on Erev Shabbat. So this is one of the rare gzerot that applies even on Erev Shabbat. The other most famous one, I guess, is called Shehiyah, which is the institution of the blech and turning off the stove, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so that being said, that introduction aside, the Mishnah says, "Lo kisahu mi ba'od yom, lo yichasenu mi shetachshach." If you did not cover it on Erev Shabbat, you're not allowed to cover it on Shabbat. So even covering it with something that, as we said, is not mosif hevel, as Rashi says, Ein tom nim badavar she'eino mosif hevel mishecha shecha. Gzera shema yartiach. As Rashi says, you're not allowed to be mechaseh, to be matmin on Shabbat if it wasn't already covered on Erev Shabbat. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbat because there was a concern that if you're covering it, then that means that you're still involved in the process of keeping it hot and making it hot. And there was a concern that you're going to come to make it much more hot, and you're going to actually start a fire and cook it on Shabbat. So the first half of this Mishnah, first third really, says that if you didn't cover it on Erev Shabbat, then you can't cover it on Shabbat at all, even with something that's not mosif hevel. However, here's where it gets complicated. Kisahu v'nitgala mutar l'chasoto. However, if you covered it and then it became uncovered, then you are allowed to cover it. Now, we're going to see a machlokes of Rishonim about exactly what this means within Tosos and the Rambam. Let's say, just for simplicity's sake, it means that if you did cover it let's say you covered it on Erev Shabbat and it was covered into Shabbat, let's just say, and then it became uncovered, so you are allowed to recover it. Okay, so in other words, the equivalent of hachazara on the stove on Shabbat, just meaning that if you took care of everything you had to take care of before Shabbat, then you're allowed to recover it on Shabbat. Final part of the Mishnah, memalei et hakiton v'noten letachat akar o tachat akeset. You're allowed to fill up a pitcher or a tin a pitcher of water, and you're allowed to cover that with a sheet or a pillow or whatever on Shabbat. Now, how are we allowed to do that on Shabbat? I thought we're not allowed to do any hatmana on Shabbat. So Rashi explains, and this is also subject to somewhat of machloket, shelo yechamu b'chom hakayitz v'achama k'gon kara v'keset shel levadin she'eino mitchamem. Rashi says this is reverse hatmana. Here, you're covering something so that it doesn't become hot. You're trying to maintain its coolness. You have a pitcher of water. You put it outside. You don't want it to get hot in the sun. So you cover it to make sure it doesn't get hot. So there's no problem with doing that even on Shabbat. Okay? Any questions before we continue into the Gemara? Any questions on the Mishnah? No, we're all good. Okay, it's a very somber night, so no questions. Okay, fine. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Mutar la'atmin et atzunin. So Rav Yehuda could record Shmuel's statement that you're allowed to cover, to insulate, cold food. Now, Rashi immediately, by the way, on the side says, Mimnei hachama, which sounds familiar, shelo yichamu, v'lo gazmina atu hatmana kedei sheyichamu. What would you think? You might have thought that maybe we would make a gzera that you're not allowed to cover cold food, because if people see you covering cold food, what are they going to do? They're going to say, oh, it's okay to cover food on Shabbat. They don't know that what you've got under there is cold. They just see a pitcher. For all they know, the pitcher is a hot pitcher. They don't know. All they see is a pitcher with a bunch of rags on top of it. So they don't know that it's cold. So maybe people are going to come to think that hatman is okay. So Kamash Malan comes along, Shmuel, and says, no, it's okay. There's no problem. But what's the problem? What's the problem with this statement in the Gemara? The Gemara is immediately going to ask a question. You have Shmuel, is an Amora, saying, Mutar hatmin et tatzonein. What's the problem with this?
Mishnah just said that.
Amar Rav Yosef, Maika Mashmalan, what are you teaching us? Tinyana, we already know from the Mishnah, two nuns, our Mishnah, Mamale Adam Kiton Venotin Tachat Akaro Tachat Akeset. We just said that. We said that you're allowed to keep things cool. Amalei Abaye Tuva Kamashma. No, it does teach you something. There is something extra. The Imi Matnitin Havamina Hanimli Davashain Darkula Hatmin. Abu Davash Darkula Hatmin Lo Kamashman. All I know from the Mishnah is that I am allowed to insulate a cold pitcher of water. But that, maybe, if I only had the Mishnah, maybe that would be okay only because a pitcher, like a glass pitcher, let's say, right? A glass pitcher of water, mistama holds cold water. Right? You don't put hot water into a glass pitcher. So mistama holds cold water. So anybody walking by and sees you've covered a glass pitcher of water with rags, they're not going to think, oh, okay, that might be hot, and therefore it's something that you normally would cover in order to keep it hot, and therefore they're going to think that hatmana is okay. And they don't know that it's really cold. But maybe if it was something that normally would be covered because you want it to be hot. So for example, I don't know, we have apple crumble. Okay, we have apple crumble that we serve on Shabbos. It can be eaten cold. It can be eaten hot. Doesn't matter. But maybe you want to eat it cold. Maybe you're one of the kind of people that likes to eat it cold, even though many people eat it hot. And you put it out in the sun, so you cover it with a bunch of rags. So maybe that's going to be a problem, because people are going to think that it's hot and you're trying to keep it hot. So, Kamash Malan, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shmuel teaches, no, there is no such thing as hatmana for something that's cold, and there's no gzeira against it. Fair? Okay, so that's Shmuel. Amar Rav Huna Asrula. Okay, so here. Amar Rav Huna, I'm going to read this the way it's written in my Gemara. Okay? Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Asrula Hatmina Tetzonin. So Rav disagrees, it seems. Rav says that you're not allowed to be Matmina Tetzonin. So Gemara says, Vahatanya, Rebbe Hitir. But the Braita teaches that Rebbe said that it's Mutter. Mutter la Hatmina Tetzonin. Now, if I read it like that, what's the question of the Gemara? So Rav said one thing, and then the Gemara says, but there's a Braita that Rebbe says something else. Now, it could be that there is a problem here, because Rav is an Amora, and he can't argue with Rebbe, and we have a Mishnah over here. So maybe that's the problem. Maybe the problem is, Rav, how can you say that? But Rebbe says something else. It could be. My only concern with that is that there are many places where Rav argues with Tanayim, Rav Tanahu Upalik. But fine, you know what? Let's leave that as the problem. So Rav said that you're not allowed to be matmin, betzonin, and Rebbe says that you are. How can Rav say that? But you get in trouble when you continue reading the Gemara. Lo kasha. Ha mikamei delishamei merabi shmal berabi yosi, hala bata delishamei. This is before he heard from Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and this is after he heard from Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. What are we talking about here? Ki ha diyotiv Rabbi v'amar asur lahatmin et atzonin. Amar lefanav Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, abba hitir lahatmin et atzonin. Amar kvar horazakin. What happened? There's a story. Rabbi was sitting, and he said that you're not allowed to be matmin et atzonin. And Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi came by and said, but my father said that you are allowed to, meaning Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said that you are allowed to be matmin et atzonin, and then Rabbi says, "Oh, kvar horazaken. If that's what he said, then I guess that he's right. I'm going to respect that psak." And Rabbi changed his psak and said that it's mutar lahatmin et atzonin. Okay. Does this make any sense?
Only if it's the same person.
What do you mean if it's the same person?
It's like he changed his mind when he heard it. It's got to be what.
So hold on. So let's hold on. Before we analyze the Rebbe part over here, the part where he changes his mind because of Rabbi Yossi, there's something that doesn't make sense here. Rav said it's asur lahatmin et atzonin. And then there's a braita that says that Rebbe says that it's mutar lahatmin et atzonin. And then the Gemara explains how Rebbe changed his mind. How does that help us with Rav? Does everybody follow what my problem is over here with the Gemara?
Maybe he heard only the first opinion of Rabbi.
Oh, okay, that could be, but then he's still wrong. We don't. Why is Rav saying that? So, this is one of these cases where you have to pay attention to the people that came before you. So you see how Amar Rav is in parentheses. And then you see there's a little aleph over here. So normally this is not the Masoras HaShas's job. The Masoras HaShas's job is not to help us with Girsa in the Gemara. Usually that's in the new fancy Gemaras. You'll find it, you know, on the bottom over here in some of the footnotes. I don't know if you can see. There aren't any over here. That's weird. But if you take a look at the Masoras HaShas on the right side, what do you find? Tzarech Lomar. Dad, can you read that? Probably can't read that. It says, Tzarech Lomar Amar Rebbe. It shouldn't say Rav. It says Rebbe. It should say Rebbe. In other words, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rebbe, Asur Lahatmin Et Atzonin. Now everything makes sense. That's the Gemara's question. Rav Huna quoted Rebbe as saying that it's Asur Lahatmin Et Atzonin. And then the Braita quotes Rebbe saying that it's Mutter. And then we understand, yes, Pinchas, you're right. Rav Huna was talking about Rebbe before Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi corrected him. But now at least we can read the Gemara. You can't read the Gemara with Rav. You have a lot of trouble reading the Gemara with Rav. It doesn't make much sense. Say again?
Maybe that's the reason they have Omar Rav in parentheses?
It's kind of accepted. Sure. It's accepted as the norm now, but no one corrects any new Gemaras that are printed.
No, they just put it in the footnotes on the side. Yeah. I mean, that's why the Hagot HaBach, the Hagot HaGra, I mean, we could just get rid of them, right? We just put them inside the Gemara, but we don't do that. We don't do that. Yes, dear. So he should get off.
Wait, so you are saying that Rabbi changed his mind?
Rabbi did change his mind. How did Rabbi change his mind? So that's also a very interesting thing. Rabbi said what he said. He thought there should be a gzeira. But Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said that there shouldn't. Why? Because his father, Rabbi Yossi, said that there shouldn't. Now, it's very interesting. Rabbi is Rabbi, right? It's Rabbi Yudanasi. Who's Rabbi Yossi? So take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, Zakin was Rabbi Yossi. Did I read the end of the Gemara? It says, Kfar Hora Zakin. Ah, I didn't read this part. Amarath Papa, Bo'ur E, Kama Machabavin Zedze. See how much the rabbis loved each other, or how much they respected each other, which is a good message for Sri Asa Omer. She'ilu Rabbi Yossi Kayam, Hayakafuf, Vyoshev, Lifnei Rabbi. Because if Rabbi Yossi was alive, he actually would have been kafuf to Rabbi himself. The Harabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, the Mamali Makam Avosav, have of a kafuf for Yossi of Lisnei Rabbi. In other words, Rabbi was greater than Rabbi Yossi. And nevertheless, Rabbi himself said, okay, if Rabbi Yossi already paskin this way, then that's what we're going to do. Kfar Hora Zaken. Now, why did he say Kfar Hora Zaken? So Rashi says, Kfar Hora Zaken Gadlo Unisao Alav. Right? So he was greater. Now, if you took a look at Tosvos, you can find it here. Perush Rabbeinu Shlomo, Machmat Nesiuto. In other words, Tosfos assumes that Rebbe wasn't really greater in scholarship than Rabbi Yossi, but simply he was greater in stature because he was the Nasi. He was Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And therefore, if Rabbi Yossi had been alive, he would have come to study under Rebbe simply because Rebbe was the Nasi, not because Rabbi Yehuda was smarter or had greater scholarship. That's how Tosfos understands Rashi. The Rabbi Yossi hayagadol mirabbi, because Rabbi Yossi was greater than Rabbi in scholarship. How do we know? Because it says in the Gemara Nida, Damarle Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. That's again Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yossi. Rav Chama Rabbisna Kedivrei Rabbi Omer Lecha O Kedivrei Abba. Do you think like Rabbi, or do you think like my father? Amarle Kedivrei Rabbi Amorli, and he says, tell me what Rabbi said. Amarle Zeu Shomer Malav Da Adam Gadahu Shemeniach Divrei Harav Shomer Divrei HaTalmid. And Rabbi Yossi's response to that was, you see, you don't know anything because you're asking for the words of the Talmud when you should really be asking for the words of the Rav, meaning Rabbi Yossi was the Rav and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is the Talmud. Now, you'll notice over here that there's a little bit, it could be that there was a little bit of actual nepotism over here, because it's Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi who's claiming that Rabbi Yossi was greater than Rabbi, which he would, because it's his father, right? So it's not terribly surprising that he would say that. We don't have objective third-party information over here. But Rabbeinu Tam says, Rabbeinu Tam refers to Vade Mitchila Haya Rebbe Talmido Shorbi Yossi. Says the truth is that they lived in concurrent generations. So the truth is that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was a Talmid, literally, of Rabbi Yossi. But then Rabbi became smarter or became greater. Which is why Rabbi Chama, right? Rav Chama responded to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. I want to hear what Rabbi said, because Rav Chama thought that Rabbi was greater. So you see that there's a little bit of a machloket over here, whether Rabbi Yossi would have bowed to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi because he was greater, or simply because he was a Nasi. But anyways, the truth is that Rabbi bows to Rabbi Yossi in this case. Now, why does he bow to Rabbi Yossi? So I did a little bit of investigation over here. I think the most reasonable explanation over here of Kfar Hora Zaken is not about the stature of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi or Rabbi Yossi, but was simply a matter of policy. Rabbi concluded that if Rabbi Yossi had already ruled on this, and the minhag was like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was not willing to change that halacha. In the Shaar Mitzvah B'Halacha, he brings down a few makarot that show that once a minhag is established, so it was passe to change it, even if you thought that halacha could be different, especially here where it's just a gzera, right? Rabbi's claim would be that we should make a gzera that hatmana betzonein atu hatmana beroteach. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wasn't willing to do that against Rabbi Yossi. Okay, hold on just one second. Hold on.
I think it also, from the language, it sounds like it was because he wasn't alive anymore and therefore couldn't give his side of the debate.
He
doesn't say, yeah, you're right, there's no tshuvta, there's no anything like that. I just said, Kfar Hora Zaken, he already said so I'm not going to, even though I may think differently, I'm not going to make a fuss and argue it.
Right. I think so. Okay, let's continue. Oh, it's already 9:07. Okay, let's continue. Okay. Amr Rav So Rav Nachman turns to his slave, Daro, and he says, Atmin li tzonin v'ayti li maya da'achim kvela arma. He said, it was Shabbos, and he said, insulate for me some cold water, right? And bring me water which was heated on Erev Shabbos by a non-Jewish chef. So he wanted cold water and hot water. He wanted his cold water to stay cold, and he wanted hot water, but he couldn't make hot water on Shabbos, and he couldn't even get a non-Jew to make him hot water, so he had to get old hot water, water that was heated on Erev Shabbos. Okay? Hold on. Sorry, just one sec. Sorry about that. Okay. So, So Rav Nachman has his slave insulating some cold water for him and bringing him some hot water from the non-Jew. Ikbid Shama Rabbi Ami veikbid. Rabbi Ami got very upset with Rav Nachman. He didn't think he did. He thought he did two things wrong. Number one, what are you doing insulating cold food? And number two, what's the other problem? He's having water that was heated by a non-Jew. This is a Bishul Akum problem. Bishul Akum. So the Gemara immediately says, my time I ikbid. Why are you getting angry of Nachman? Kerab vasei avid. He's just following his rabbis. Chada kerab, chada kishmuel. Kishmuel damar Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel, which we already said, mutal hatmin et atzonin. Listen, Shmuel is his rabbi. Rav is his rabbi. Shmuel over here is his rabbi. He said they are allowed to insulate cold food. Kerav, damar Rav Shmuel, bar Yisachar kamarav, kol shu nechal kamutshu chai, ein bo b'shum b'shulei nochrim. Anything which can be eaten raw, there is no problem with Bishulei Nochrim. Bishul Akum has a few different, that's basically three different parameters. Won't get into it right now. But one of the main ones is that if the food is Nachal Kamot Shehu Chai, if it can be eaten raw, then even if it is cooked by a non-Jew, from start to finish, cooked by a non-Jew, you're allowed to eat it. There's no problem with Bishul Akum. Okay? That's what Rav says. So why are you getting upset with Nachman? Ein Bishulei Nochrim. So, who savor Adam Chashev Shani? So Rav Ami, well, he was really upset as he says, yeah, I know you're following your rabbis, but still, you're an Adam Chashev Rav Nachman, and since you're an Adam Chashev, you shouldn't be doing this. An Adam Chashev doesn't do this. Okay, obviously Rav Nachman disagrees, but he says you're an Adam Chashev. Okay, I wanted to continue in the Gemara, but I'm choshesh how much time we're going to have, and I want to make sure that we get through some iyun. So we'll stop there. Which means that we might not do the Shalek part. And let's move over to the Makorot. Okay? I'll show you the Makorot that I have right here. Everybody can see my page? Yeah? We're good? Okay. So, the first sugya is Nitgale Mutar L'Chasoto. Okay, so remember I told you that there was a little bit of a problem with this Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah, the beginning says, L'Kisao Mibod Yom, Lo Yichasenu Mishatech Shach. If you didn't cover it on Erev Shabbos, so then you can't cover it on Shabbos, even with a davar she'eino mosif hevel. That does not cause more heat. Kisao nitgale mutar lachasoto. Mishetachshach. Mutar lachasoto. But if it was covered and then became uncovered, then you're allowed to recover it. So there's some question about the time sequence over here. When did you cover it? When did it become uncovered? How did it become uncovered? And then when do you want to recover it? Exactly what's going on. So take a look. Rashi doesn't really help us, but Tosfot does tell us. Tosfot says, "Kisao v'nitgala mutar lechasoto." Tosfot says, "Nira l'ri, du adin de mutar legaloto biadayim v'lachzor lechasoto kemo shemutar litol hakdeira ulachzira." Says, "Look, as long as you covered it on Erev Shabbos, there should be no problem with uncovering it and then recovering it on Shabbos." Just like you can do hachazara. If you had food on the blech, as long as you take it off and you keep your hand on it and it's still hot, etc., etc., you follow all the rules that you need to follow, you're allowed to put it back onto the blech. So too, you should be allowed to uncover it and then recover it. So he says, that can't
excuse
be.
I lost the connection for a few seconds. I'm not sure if I heard you correctly. Are we saying you were allowed, if it was covered before Shabbos and I uncover it before Shabbos, I'm allowed to recover it on Shabbos or not?
The re says it's talking about where it was covered on Erev Shabbos, covered into Shabbos, and then on Shabbos morning, you uncovered it, and then took your food out. Then you took your food out, then recovered it because you wanted to keep it hot for Shal Shabbos. The re says there's no problem with doing that. But he continues, and he says, there's no problem with doing that. But had the nachat kisav nitgale, mishum de nitgale mibod yomairi. He says, what are we talking about when we say kisav nitgale? He says, we're not even talking about that case. We're talking about a case where it was covered and then it was uncovered on Erev Shabbos. He says that's the Mishnah. In other words, what I just described before, that's Pashut. Everybody agrees with that. It's not even what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is not talking about the case that I was describing before, because it's Pashut that's Mutter. The case that the Mishnah is talking about is where it was uncovered on Erev Shabbos. But why? This is the key. He says, it's talking about where it was uncovered on Erev Shabbos. So how do you separate that from the beginning of the Mishnah, where it says, Loki Sahu? I mean, what's the difference? In both cases, it was not covered on Erev Shabbos, and then you want to cover it again on Shabbos. So how do you differentiate between the two? So the answer is, he says, if you uncover it on Erev Shabbos, right, planning to recover it on Shabbos, that's when you cannot do it. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Lo chisau mi bo'od yom, lo yichasenu mishatech shach. Right? That's mishum dinitgal mi bo'od yom, ayir dumi dereisha, lo chisau mi bo'od yom, v'kamar muter lachasato mishatech shach, aval im gila o biyadayim mi bo'od yom, kidei lachasato mishatech shach, asur lachasato mishatech shach, didyamia letchila tatmana. Because that's as if you didn't do it at all on Erev Shabbos. However, if you uncover it on Erev Shabbos, and then recover it on Erev Shabbos, then that's fine. Then there's no problem with that. Okay, and that's what the second part of the Mishnah is talking about. And should be differentiated.
Why do I need someone to tell me that? I might say Pshita. I uncovered it before Shabbos, and I recovered it on before Shabbos. So why do I need someone to tell me that that's Mutar?
That's a good question. So we're going to see when we get to the Rambam where there's some dispute over there. But again, let's just read that part of the Tosfos again. Had the nakat kisav nitgale. That's the second part of the Mishnah. Mishum dinitgale mibod yom ayri, dum yidereisha. Lokisav mibod yom. It's just like the reisha which says lokisav mibod yom. Bekamer demuter lachasotom yishatech shach. And then you're still allowed to... Sorry. Tosfot says that it's mutter if you uncover it on Erev Shabbos, but not with the intention of recovering it on Shabbos. But by accident, it became uncovered on Erev Shabbos. Or you uncovered it and thought you were going to recover it right away and you just didn't. And then you're still allowed to cover it on Shabbos because basically you did cover it on Erev Shabbos. So it's not like you didn't. You did cover it on Erev Shabbos. It became uncovered. A gust of wind came or a child came and uncovered it. So that's not considered a break in the Hatmana. And you're allowed to recover it on Shabbos. However, if you uncover it on Shabbos on purpose, thinking, oh, I'm just going to recover it on Shabbos, then that's Tchilat Hatmana on Shabbos, and that's going to be a problem. Clear?
But it also includes a middle case where you uncovered it with the intention to recover but forgot. So either it became uncovered, even if you uncovered it, but with
presumably that would be okay because you didn't purposely do it that you were going to do it Mishnah Techshach.
Yeah, well, you did purposely uncover it, but you intended to recover it before Shabbat, but you forgot. So it's also your intention was that it would be covered when Shabbat came in, and for whatever reason, either by your uncovering it or by the wind uncovering it, it became uncovered. Then you can recover it. That's Tosfot.
Right. So now we get to the Rambam. And this is a little bit subtle, but the Rambam says as follows. There's going to be two things in the Rambam that should bother us. Number one, he says, Safik chashecha, safik eina chashecha, mutar litmon et devar chom. Okay, this has to do with Ben Hashmashos. At what point you're not allowed to do Hatmana? He says you're allowed to do Hatmana even in Ben Hashmashos. Umutar litmon et devar hatsonen b'shabbat b'davar sheinu mosif k'dei sh'leitanen b'yoter o k'dei sh'tafug tzinatan. Okay, this is Rambam recording the fact that it's mutter to mimat min tzonen. Okay. Chamin she'tamnan mi'erev Shabbat. What happens if you covered it on Erev Shabbat? Hot food you covered on Erev Shabbos. V'nitgalu b'shabbat. And it became uncovered on Shabbat. Mutar l'chasotan sh'arei enu mosif. Because you're not mosif. Umutar l'achlif ha'kisui b'shabbat. Okay, that means that the Rambam assumes that the Mishnah is talking about the case that Tosfot said was Pashut. Right? It's the first case that Tosfot said. That basically, as long as you covered it on Erev Shabbos and it remained covered into Shabbos, if it became uncovered, either because you uncovered it or because it became uncovered, you're allowed to recover it because it was already covered when Shabbos started. But the Rambam doesn't cover the case where it was uncovered at the onset of Shabbos, which means the Rambam is machmir or mekel.
He's machmir
because it could be that the Rambam believes, it seems to be that the Rambam believes, that as if he was uncovered for any reason on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to cover it at all on Shabbos. Now, Goes Maimonius makes this clear. He quotes Rabbeinu Shimshon, right? Rabbeinu Shimshon kasa b'shem ri, da'afilu nitgalem b'od yom mutar l'chasato mishatech shach k'demash melashu nitgalem rak shalei galeum b'od yom l'dat shalei chasato ad shetech shach. This is the re that we just read. This is the Tosas that we just read. That if it was covered on Erev Shabbos, then you can cover it as long as, here. You're not allowed to purposely uncover it, planning to only recover it after Shabbos starts. That's what we saw in the re. Omnam. The Sefer Chuma says, it's only mutter kshenitkalim shechashecha v'chein kasav sefer shemishon v'digaretz nitkalim v'odyom v'chaseh v'odyom mishechashecha. He says it's only mutter if you recover it on Erev Shabbos. But if it's if it was uncovered on Erev Shabbos, so you're out of luck, which seems to be also what the Rambam says. Okay?
Can I get you to sum up what you just said? I've heard a lot of things that are...
Machlokas Rambam versus Tosos. Machlokas Rambam versus the Ri. Okay? The Ri says that if I was matmin on Erev Shabbos, I covered my chulent on Erev Shabbos, and then the cover fell off. Or I uncovered it for a minute and lost track and forgot to recover it. And then Shabbos started. And then I noticed, my wife lit candles and I came back from shul and I noticed, oh my gosh, the cholent is uncovered. I can quickly recover it in order to maintain the heat. By the way, that was what people used to insulate, the cholent. So I can recover it in order to maintain that heat, as long as I use something that's not mosif hevel. That's what the Ri says. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says you're not allowed to do that. The Rambam and the Sefer HaChuma both say, based on the Yerushalmi, you're not allowed to do that. Says the moment that Shabbos starts and something is uncovered, you're not allowed to do hatmanah anymore. That's called tchilat hatmanah. Even if you had originally covered it at some point and it became uncovered, it's not. So what does Tosas think is a problem? Tosas thinks, the Ri thinks what is a problem is if you uncover the chulent and say, you know what, it can last, it'll be fine for the next 8 hours, and I'm just going to cover it before I go to sleep tonight on Friday night. Says the Ri says that's out of bounds. You can't do that. Because there, you purposely uncovered it on Erev Shabbos and knew that it was going to start Shabbos uncovered. So that's what the Ri thinks is a problem. So how do we paskin?
Rav Danny.
Yes, Simon.
According to the Rambam, how long have you got to... can you scroll up a second? Is this a question of time? It's a question of whether the heat of the food goes down.
So the truth is that this is in the Hemshech of the Gemara. This is later on. But it shouldn't be a function of... I mean, it shouldn't be a function of the heat because the heat's only going to go down. So if you cover it right away, it's fine. And if you cover it after a while, it's also fine. It doesn't matter when you recover it.
The concern of Atmana is She'admin Beremetz, right?
That's the ultimate concern.
Okay, so surely the reason why the Rambam doesn't want you to be able to recover is because he's concerned the temperature of the pot is going to go down, and then you're going to yadmin, you're going to start stoking the coals.
The Rambam allows you to recover as long as it's covered at the onset of Shabbos. You're allowed to uncover and recover, no problem. Right.
But how about if you came back in?
It's all animal sif hevel anyway. You can't.
Yeah, we're only talking about covering it with things that are just going to maintain.
I missed that. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
You're not allowed to ever on Shabbos cover with something that's going to cause heat. Okay, how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Afa pi she'ein tomnim b'Shabbos, afilu b'davar she'ein mosif hevel." It's true, you're not allowed to do that. on Shabbos. Im taman ba mi'od yom nitkal mishachashicha mutar lachzor v'lachasoto. As long as it was on Erev Shabbos and only became uncovered on Shabbos, you're allowed to recover it. So who's he paskening like? No, the Rambam. It's the words of the Rambam.
Be'od yom
v'nitgala mishachashicha means that it became uncovered after Shabbos started. Mishachashicha means after dark. Okay.
He's saying it was uncovered deliberately or it fell off by accident.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Okay, and if he wants to add on more insulation on Shabbos, he's allowed to. That's in the next part of the Gemara that we haven't read. This is also in the next part of the Gemara. You're allowed to be machlif. You can. This is a trick that the Gemara comes up with. Let's say you had, you know, a pitcher of hot water, and you wanted to keep it hot. Well, you wanted the water to remain hot. One trick you could do is you can pour it into another kli, like a kli sheni almost, and then you can be matmin that on Shabbos lechatchila with a davar she'eino mosif hevel. Okay, so that's a trick that you can do. Because once you pour it into another pitcher, it's clear that you're not going to be heating this up because you just put it into a kli sheni. If you wanted to make it hot, then you wouldn't have done that. That's just a trick. Okay. I wanted to point out, if we look in the Aruch HaShulchan, so Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein, so he says, Alva bishein tamna b'shabes, afilu b'davar sheinu mosif hevel, mikom b'kom tamna b'od yom, v'nitkala mishachashecha, mutar lachzor lachasato, v'gam yechol lachatchila, legaloto lachasato, im tzarech lakach. That's all in line with the Rambam, although he quotes Tosos, which is interesting. Aval im nitgala mibod yom, asur lachasato mishetechshach, v'zehu kematmin lachatchila, quoting the Magen Avraham. Now, that's going to the Magen Avraham, who quotes the Rambam. However, Aval mehatosos sham, this is the Tosos that he's quoting, mevor de davka kshu gila mibod yom asur lachasato mishetech shach aval kshu gila, sorry, gila, when he did it on purpose, aval kshinit gala mehatzma mutar. The Aruch HaShulchan makes it sound like the Ri says that it has to happen by accident. Fine, ayin sham. Aval Rabbeinu Abbas Yosef b'Sifra Gadol, that's the Shulchan Aruch, Yechriya Meirushalmi da'afilu nitgalda, sorry, that's not the Abbas Yosef, nitgalda me'atzma asur, ayin sham, u'be'emet b'Yerushalmi nishar b'safek. He says, the truth is, if you look in the Yerushalmi, it's in a safek, ayin sham. V'gam Arash, the Rush agrees with Tosos, the Rush says what the Re says, Arash kasuv k'tosos, v'da demnira de'en chilek ben shagila al-da'at lachzor ul-chasato, u'bein al-da'at shelo lachasato. He says, the truth is, I think there's no difference between when you uncovered it with the plan to recover it and whether you covered it without the plan to recover it. I think he's talking about on Shabbos. When you uncover it on Shabbos, are you allowed to recover it? So he says, it's unlike Hachzara, where you have to have in mind to put it back, right? Remember, the Re made a parallel between Hachazara, where you take a pot off the stove and then you put it back on, off the blech, and then you put it back on. So there, you have to know that you're going to put it back on. It has to be in your hand. You have to have it in mind the whole time. Otherwise, you can't put it back. But the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that doesn't extend to Hatmana. You can uncover Hatmana, and then even if you didn't plan to, but you decided afterwards, you know, the man comes over, he uncovers the chulent. I don't know. He uncovers something. He uncovers the chulent, goes and he sits down, and then he shows up with the rag in his hand, and his wife says, "What are you doing? Why do you have the rag? You're supposed to recover it." And then he can go and recover it, no problem.
That's anyway, because of Koch
Okay, so that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. And the Mishnah Berurah buttresses this point that the Shulchan Aruch made. Mashikos of Nitgala, lav davka, daha af lechatchila mutar lagalot. He says, you know, you could almost get the impression of the Shulchan Aruch that it's only mutar to recover on Shabbos if it by accident became uncovered. This is not true. Even lechatchila you're allowed to cover it, uncover it, and then recover it again. Kamoshikos of Basamach, el de kamashma, daaf bekaigabna shenitgala mimele, davka mishachashicha. He says the real point the Shulchan Aruch is making is to la'afuke the Ri, to tell you that the Ri is wrong, that he passes like the Rambam, that if it's uncovered mibo'od yom, you can't cover it again. That's, of course, a kol shekein, because even the Ri says it this problem. Okay. Now, in the Sharet Sion, Right? The Shaar HaTzion is the footnotes of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah wrote three Sfarim in one. He wrote his Mishnah Berurah, that's the standard parish on the Shulchan Aruch, which has most of what you need. He wrote the Bir HaLacha, which is in the corner over there, which has expansions on certain halachot, where it's not usually halach lamais, it's usually just lamdus. And then the Shaar HaTzion is his footnotes on the bottom, where he doesn't always quote his sources inside the Mishnah Berurah. So here he says, Af d'habach mekel bazeh, in other words, the Bach holds like the Ri, v'chein mitzadet b'eli araba, satam tigedat ha-shulchan arach shepasak ha-rishon ha-machmir bazeh. I wrote like the Rambam and like the Shulchan Aruch. Shabbi Yushalmi Mufurish Behed Yakin, because he thinks it's clear in the Yushalmi like that. V'chein mashmadat ha-gra, and the Gra also says this. V'chein pasach ha-shulchan atzei shitim, b'ha-graz, that's Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. V'gam Meiri, okay, so he says, since most of the Achronim paskin against Tosos, the rapper action is like the Rambam and like the Shulchan Aruch. All right,
Rabbi, are you making a distinction between Hatmona for the evening and the following day?
No,
I think the Ran discusses that the halacha is different if you're doing Hatmona for the evening or the following day. If it's for the following day, I think it's much more makel. Maybe Rabbi Robbie will remind us. I can't remember. He thinks it's Tosfos. I think it's the Ran.
What is that? What exactly is it that they say?
I don't think it was more makel if you're doing it the next day. I think you just use that as an explanation why there are some areas of Hakmara that are more machmir than Shehiya, and some areas that can be less machmir than Shehiya. And there he says that one of the Chumras is doesn't apply because generally you do Hakmana for lunch for the next day and it's not for the evening, so you have less chance of coming and stoking the coals. Mm-hmm. I think it was Tosfot, but I wouldn't.
I think it was the Ran, but okay. Robbie's got a better mind than mine, so that's good.
Homework, you can write into the WhatsApp group once you guys figure it out. Okay, the other sugya that I wanted to do, which it looks is probably going to be what we're going to have time for tonight. Adam Chashev Shani. What's the deal with this Adam Chashev business? Rav Nachman, all he wanted to do was drink a little cold water, drink a little hot water, totally within his rights. He has Rav, and he has Shmuel. No reason not to do it. And Rav Ami gets upset with him. He says, you're an Adam Chashev, you shouldn't be doing this. What's the explanation over here? So over here, the phrase Adam Chashev Shani, or Shani Adam Chashev, depending on the place, shows up throughout Shas. Shows up in many different places. And it means different things in different places. I want to go over a little bit what some of these things might actually sometimes mean. Second, change my name just because it's bothering me. So before we get there, though, what's going on between Rav Ami and Rav Nachman, and how does the Gemara conclude? So just a little bit on how the Gemara seems to conclude. The Korban Asanel, one of the commentaries on the Rashi usually. So he says, "Who Savar Adam Chashev Shani Hashas Miashev Dat Rav Ami Mashehikbid Batchila." In other words, the Gemara is only explaining why Rav Ami was upset. Aval Achar Shamar Le Rav Yosef Shetravaya Kravasa Avid Vehem Lo Chalku Bein Adam Chashev. He assumes that in the end, everybody gets along. Rav Ami also agrees with Rav Yosef and is fine and retracts his criticism of Rav Nachman. Once he found out that Rav and Shmuel are Rav Nachman's Rebbeim, he said there's no problem. And so he says, and that's why when you look in the Rambam or in the Tur for this Chumrah of Matmin Betzonein, you won't find it. You won't find any Chumrah for Adam Chashev in this case. That's his explanation for that. So he says, there's no reason to be Machmir at all for anybody under any circumstances. Fine. But let's get into this Adam Chashev business. What exactly does it mean? What is the concern? Let's say Rav Ami had a problem with Rav Nachman doing it, and he says, you shouldn't have done it because you're an Adam Chashev. What would be the concern? So there could be a few possibilities. Number one, Let's take a look at this. So the Shulchan Aruch, this is a different Shulchan Aruch, because as I said, there's no Shulchan Aruch for us. We'll see later. But this is a completely different place. This is Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, which is talking about a case where a Jew gets invited to a non-Jew's wedding. Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, you should not go. You should not go to the wedding, and you shouldn't go to his house if he invites you to celebrate anything, because Mistama, he's inviting you to celebrate his wedding, and there's going to be an Avodah Zarah involved, and you really shouldn't go. But the Gemara says, Ula'achar Yud Beis Chodesh Mutter. But there's a statute of limitations. After 12 months after the wedding, you can go to his house for a party. Elim Kenu Adam Chashuv. Unless you're an Adam Chashuv. And then you can't go, even 12 months later. 12 months later. Why? The Gemara has a story. Story about... who is it about? Do I have it here? Story about Rav Yitzchak. Story about Rav Yitzchak, who waited 12 months after the wedding and then came to the place and then saw that he was extra happy that he was there and he had to leave because he said, this is really all about Avodah Zarah. So the story over there says, Adam Chashuv is Shani. So the Shach comments. The Shach says, V'arif v'haramam hishmitu iser ad Adam Chashuv. So you won't find this iser in the Rif or in the Rambam. Because of a Bach, this really dafilu adam chashuv shari, v'dachak liyashiv hashas l'datam. Because the Bach says, that's because there's no problem with an adam chashuv. Even adam chashuv is not a problem. He says, v'li nira, d'lo hutzruchu l'kotzvo. He says, you know what? Shach says, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have to write it, and the Rambam doesn't have to write it over there. Mishum d'milta d'pshitihi, d'adam chashuv yachik, asman b'kol maishi yochol. Because it's pashut. The Rambam doesn't write anything about Adam Chashuv and all the places where it shows up, because it's pashut. Of course, he has to be machmir. Shach says, you know why the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam don't mention the fact that Adam Chashuv has to be machmir about drinking water that was heated up by a non-Jew? Because it's pashut. Of course, they have to. All over the place. He starts mentioning all these places where the Gemara says Adam Chashuv, and he says the Rambam just wrote it in one place, the Shulchan Aruch wrote it in one place, and you're supposed to know Adam Chashuv Shani and all the other places. That's what the Shach says over here. So according to the Shach, there is reason to be machmir for an Adam Chashuv. Now there's an important taz over here. This taz is chetzi relevant for us, but is a really important taz, so I just want to mention it. The taz is not in our sugya, but in that sugya with the wedding. And he says, not so fast. He says, Miloshon ze mashma demashi yizara adam chashuv hu mitzad chasiduto. It sounds like the reason why an adam chashuv has to be machmir is because he's such a chassid. Right? The real reason why an adam chashuv has to be machmir is because he is, you know, on a higher level than everybody else. And so he has to be machmir. And that's what the Beis Yosef says. That's what a lot of people say. But he says, wait a second. Tmihani, tahabahar beduchti, his kiru chilek zed, yesh ba'adam chashuv din acher, v'amedakti b'lashen gmar, yirish shalomi midas chasidus naguba. He says, if you look carefully in many places, and in this case, this is what's going on, he says, it's not about that person's chasidut. It has nothing to do with it. Says, because if the problem here is that an Adam Chashuv should be Machmir, what happened in the story in the Gemara, Rav Yitzchak went to the guy's house after 12 months and only left when he saw that the person was extremely happy with him being there. But if Rav Yitzchak is such a holy man, why would he have gone? If it's such a problem, he's so afraid of Avodah Zarah, so why did he go at all? So he says, Upirish, v'lo achel, he didn't eat it. Shani Rav Yitzchak Adam Chashuv, he didn't eat, he left because he's an Adam Chashuv. And Perish Rashi, the Samach Moha Ovid Kochavim, because the Ovid Kochavim, the guy was happy that he was there. So what was the importance of him eating Adam Chashuv? Mashma delav b'chasidut tal yamilta. You know why it was a problem for Rav Yitzchak to be there? And he didn't realize at the beginning that it was going to be a problem? Because Rav Yitzchak was an important man. He was important, and therefore him being there was an extra special treat for this Oved Kochavim. It was like the mayor showed up or the president showed up. That's what excited this Oved Avodah Zarah, which Rav Yitzchak didn't foresee. He didn't know that that was going to happen. And the problem here wasn't that, you know, he was an Adam Chashev, therefore he should have known better. He should not have gone because, you know, you shouldn't get involved in these kind of things. It's below you. But rather, the problem was that there was legitimate Avodah Zarah going on when Rav Yitzchak showed up, because it increased the happiness of the Oved Avodah Zarah. Now, whether or not this applies in our case, can our Gemara mean that? So I was trying to figure out, can our Gemara mean that? So I was thinking maybe for the Bishul Akum part, maybe for the Bishul Akum part, where somehow, you know, the guy giving you the food is going to get very excited, which is not the problem of Bishul Akum, but where the guy is going to get very excited to give you the food because you're a very important person, maybe. But with the Hatmana, I don't think we're going to get anywhere. With Hatmana, the fact that Rav Nachman was an important person or not an important person, it shouldn't be relevant. But I do think that this Taz is very important because you see that he disagrees and says that sometimes Adam Chashev doesn't mean that you're holy, it just means that you're important. Yeah? It's a good makor, no?
Yeah. The word Chashev is a subjective word, of course.
It is, which is exactly what the Taz is saying. He's saying sometimes it means one thing, sometimes it means another thing. And even when it means one of them, it's still hard to pin down exactly what it means.
But it doesn't seem to fit in our case.
No, I don't think it necessarily fits in our case. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says in the end, Mutul hatmin b'shabbat, davar tzonin, b'davar shenu mosif hevel, k'dei shel yitznanin b'yoter, or k'dei shel tafik tzinato. We saw also, by the way, the Rambam, as was pointed out, the Rambam says that it's fine, and he has no qualms about an Adam Chashev doing it. He doesn't say anything about it. But again, the Shulchan Aruch, where'd it go? The Shulchan Aruch says it's fine, mentions nothing about an Adam Chashev, and the Mishnah Brura goes out of his way and says, Vafilo Adam Chashev Shari. All the Achronim over here say, Afilo Adam Chashev Shari. Almost across the board, when you look at Halacha Lamaisa, the Achronim, after the time of the Shulchan Aruch, they all say that an Adam Chashev does not have to be concerned for Hatmana of a cold object. Tosefa Shabbos, I quoted over here, just says, the Gemara says, Hu Savar. You could be Midak in the Gemara. It says, Hu Savar Adam Chashev Shani, which is almost an implicit criticism of Rav Ami, saying that, you know, he thought that, but it's not correct. I think somebody wanted to say something. I cut you off? No? Okay.
Yes. The Adam when we're talking about Hatmana with the Adam Chashuv, it's got nothing to do at all with the earlier case we just learned about with Avodah Zarah. What would be the reason for being more machmir about Adam Chashuv when it comes to Hatmana? Is it he's setting an example or
good.
What is the reason?
Okay, good. So let's thank you. Let's hold that thought for just 1 second. We're about to get to that, but first I want to do this Tashbetz. This Tashbetz is quoted, however. I think it's quoted in the basis, I don't remember. But look at this. He says, Sha'alta oti otan minei mitika shosin mehasolet hanivchar v'hadvash hanikiyah. Okay, they would make this. He was asked a Bishul Akum Shaila, having something to do with some kind of sweet food that would get mixed. And the question was, when it got mixed like this, do we have to worry about Bishul Akum? So he says, Vadai kenu shenogim bam heter mikan v'ratzon chachamim masim ken. He says, no, there's no problem with it. People who do this, there's no problem with it. The lake on the mechash the midi mishum divade dubsha iker sha'ilu haya solet iker haya asur sha solet yeshba mishum bisule akum. Because the real problem over here, the main part of this is the dvash, which there's no problem with, and because the solet is not the ikar, fine. However, he continues as aval ima yotam utarim legamre lo melani libila chomeham. He says, nevertheless, I wouldn't eat it. Interesting, the Tashbetz wants to have his cake and not eat it, right? He wants to be able to tell everybody else, no problem, you're fine, but I wouldn't do it. All right? Reminds me of the Maharam Mirotenberg. You know, many people, Marami Rottenberg is quoted for a couple of chumras that he basically said this is not a real thing, but I'm machmir on it. The two famous ones that I know, I think I'm quoting this correctly, two famous ones that I know are, number one, eating meat after milk, right after milk. So I think he said, based on Kabbalistic reasons, it wasn't good to do that, but nobody else has to worry about it. And also standing for Kriyas HaTorah, which people do. Even though he said explicitly, you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, no, you don't have to do this. I just like to do it. It's my chumrah. Nevertheless, that one actually caught on, and a lot of people do it, even though he said you don't have to do it. So this Tashbait, so he thinks that you should be machmir. He thinks that he should be machmir for drinking water heated by a non-Jew or anything, Bishul Akum, which is Chashash of Bishul Akum, even though not everybody has to be machmir. Now, getting back to my father's question, what is the problem with that?
Excuse me for 1 second. If he's worried about Bishul Akum with water, is he talking about only on Shabbos or any time?
No, nothing to do with Shabbos.
During the week?
Yeah, he just thinks that anything to do with Bishul Akum or Avodah Zarah, you need to stay far, far, far away, and an Adam Chashuv should avoid everything
he wouldn't even go into a non-kosher cafe just to buy a cup of coffee, for example, correct?
Well, there's ways. There are ways for the non-Jew to not be involved. In other words, if a Jew lights the fire, etc., Ashkenazim, Sephardim have different ways around it. But yeah, he thinks in general, it sounds like he probably would be pretty machmer and Bishul Akum. And again, back to the question of what is the problem with Adam Chashuv? Not problem, but what's the idea with Adam Chashuv? So here you have actually two different ways of reading it. Number one, you have Rashi. And then number two, you're going to have Rashi. You have Rashi side A and Rashi side B. So here's Rashi. Actually, let's look at Rashi on the Daf. So Rashi on the Daf, what does he say? Rashi on the Daf says... Where to go? Adam Chashuv Shani. Adam Chashuv Shani Shahre Oto Shehu Mekel Omeid Umekel Yoter. What's the problem? Somebody who sees him being Mekel, it's going to be more Mekel. Why? He says, the rabbi is doing it this way, and the rabbi is always Machmer and everything, which means that I can go one step down. Okay? So Rav Nachman was drinking. I was doing Hatmana Betzonin, and Ravami was concerned that if people see Rav Nachman doing that, then they're going to think that Hatmana is Mutter in all cases.
He has to set the example.
Yeah. Now, Rashi in Bava Metzia says something similar. In a different case where Tzur B'mir Abanan, where people who are Yeshiva Bachrim are Machmir, he says, Shetzarech li'asher darkabul hitkadesh af b'mutter lo, pen yul b'dumi menu l'zalzel b'yisrit. Excuse me. Okay, whatever the case was over there, he says you have to be machmir because people are going to see you, and they're going to learn from you to be mezalzel beisurin. And then you have this this blockbuster Ritva. Shachter apparently loves to quote this blockbuster Ritva, who says Adam Chashuv Shani. This is on our Gemara. This is him explaining Ravami. Perush sheyesh lalachmir lifni mishurat adin. Right, this is just like Rashi, but just with more words. You have to be machmir because you don't want people to go the extra step. Actually, the next one is the blockbuster Ritva. Here, Ritva says this is a case where Rav Yanai got involved with something. So this whole daf of chumras in Moed Katan, Yud Bet. And so here is where Rav Yanai had to give up his pardes because of some shady dealings. Perush shekanas atzmo bekach l'chumra. He gave himself a knas l'chumra. Amrinu Rabbi Yerushalmi, he quotes the Yerushalmi, I couldn't find it, but he quotes the Yerushalmi, yalfinan mikalkalta velo yalfinan mitakanta. Simon, what does that mean? Come on. Yalfinan mikalkalta, veyalfinan mikalkanta. It means
Yalfinan is derived.
They learn, exactly. They learn from the bad things, and they never learn from the good things. Right? They learn from the kilkul, and they don't learn from takanot. When they see a rabbi doing something, so if he's doing something good, so you ignore it. You say, he's just doing because he's a rabbi. But if he's doing something bad, ay, ay, ay. Klomar, bnei adam korvim lilmod min adarim hamakul kalim, yoter min adarim hakunim hametukanim. People who are chashuv, who are in the public eye, or respected, or are perceived to be upstanding down, people.
Can you scroll down so I can see the red one?
Yeah. Those kinds of people have to be careful, extra special careful, because people will only learn from the bad things that they do, and they're not going to learn from the good things that they do.
Does that mean the person considers himself an Adam Chashuv?
Again, how do you... It's a good question. We'll see an Igor's motion in a second that is relevant, but it's hard to define. It's people who know that they're role models, who set examples for other people.
Surely somebody who thinks they're important by definition is therefore not important.
Well, that's a fallacy, I think. Yeah. It's not totally true.
Well, Danny, we think you're important, but you don't think you're important.
No, I do not think I'm important.
You just proved my point.
Okay, but Simon, I'm a lot smarter than you. Rashi Masechet Moed. Okay, so good. So I told you we had Rashi side A and Rashi side B. What's Adam Chashuv? So Rashi on side A in Ar Gemara and in Bava Metzia clearly says that the problem is that people are going to learn from you, right? And that's what's important about being an Adam Chashuv. However, in Moed Katan, where I told you there's a whole list of cases of Adam Chashuv, Rashi says, Rav, lo havalei le'me'avad hachi, afilu ein lo mayochal. Rav was doing something that he shouldn't have done. He was eating something he shouldn't have eaten. And he shouldn't have done it, even if he didn't have anything else to eat. That's one place. In another place over there, he says, Adam Chashuv Shani. My point over there was to note that he doesn't say anything about people seeing, but here it's more important. Yesh lo lahachmer al atzma yoter, v'lo havei lemeifak b'chumrta de medusha, v'lo lemishli maya de achim kfele de nochri. Now here, this is our Gemara, right? This is a copy over there, a parallel Gemara in Moed Katan of our Gemara, right? Where Rav Nachman was drinking the kfele de nochri, the food that was heated up by the nochri, the water that was heated up by the nochri. And Rashi says, Yesh lo lahachmer al atzma yoter, and he doesn't say anything about people seeing you. Now, you may say, okay, he doesn't say anything, but I'm not the one to notice. That's Rav Elazar Landau. So he says, it's quoted in the back of my big fat Masechta Shabbos. So he says, Omnam b'moy katan perish Rashi, ahach uv the gufa, on this exact case, the adam chashuv yesh lo lahachmer al atzma mashma afilu b'lo chashash roim. That forget about whether anybody's seeing. So there's a nafkamina here. Maybe, what if Rav Nachman, okay, what if Rav Nachman, he put on a disguise and he went to Starbucks, like my dad said, not Starbucks, he went somewhere, he put on a disguise, he got some heated up water, and he went home and nobody knew that he had it. So according to Rashi in Shabbos, there's no problem. Nobody's going to see him. The problem was that Rav Ami saw that Rav Nachman was doing it in front of everyone. But according to Rashi and Moed Katan, he shouldn't have done it because Yesh lo lahachmir al-atzma yoter. He has to be machmir. Now, why does he have to be machmir? So here's a famous Rambam, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. The Rambam says, "Umi shehem medakdek al-atzma biyoter, v'itrachek midea beinonit, ma'at letzad zeh o letzad zeh nikra chasid." Sometimes you have a person, a chasid, who is more machmir than everybody else. You know, we tend to think, we like to think that halacha is the same for everybody, right? We're not like the Catholics, you know, that the clergy is not allowed to get married and different people have different standards. Everybody has the same standard. There's a Shulchan Aruch and that's it. The Rambam says, no, not for Deot and not for halacha either. He says, Ketzad misha mitrachek migova halev ad kate acharon v'yeshfal ruach biyoter nikra chasid v'zoi midas chasidus. This is not for everybody. Not everybody has to do that. But it is for some people. You can do that too. And he says, we're only commanded to walk in the middle path. But there's an lifni mishurat adin that you can do if you want to do it. You don't have to do it. But if you want to do it, you're allowed to do it. And many people should do it. There's another Rambam, I couldn't find it, I don't know why, where he says that certain people have to be extra careful because they are looked upon by other people. But what you see over here, I think, is that you have at least two explanations for why, really we have three, because you have the Taz also, but leave the Taz aside for a second. There are two problems with Adam Chashuv. One problem with Adam Chashuv is that people are going to notice you. People are going to say, hey, you're a rabbi, you're doing this. It must be that this is a high standard of halacha, and maybe they'll go a little bit down. but go a little bit lower. That's the problem of Adam Chashuv. But the other problem, Adam Chashuv is very pashut, is just, you know, an Adam Chashuv should hold himself to a higher standard, and he shouldn't do things that are even a little bit suspicious, which I think, right, we saw that the Taz seemed to say this before, the position that he was disagreeing with. He says, Mashmed, the Mashi, Zar Adam Chashuv, Yusad Chasiduto. Now, he disagreed with that position, but that it was a position that existed. So you have these two ideas. I just mentioned this, Rav Moshe. I heard Rabbi Rasner quote this before. Rav Moshe, right, he was answering, it's a funny shaila, look at this. B'dvar nesia l'anashim b'kar, Rav Moshe, b'machonit, right? He was driving on a car. Achar l'achat nirot l'beit midrash, samuch erech shnei minutin, l'chol ayot reymesh ez hachashash isur. Says, apparently, this Moshe Metzger, apparently what happened is that somebody saw Rav Moshe driving, I don't know if he was driving or he was being driven, in the 18 minutes after candlelighting before Shkia. He was driving to Shul maybe, who knows. He was in a car in the 18 minutes. And this person wrote to him a shayla, you know, how could you do that? So he says, first of all, Nehaneti ma'od asher ma'arat kvado nizdarez l'kayim mitzvah tochacha l'fi da'ato u'chor chen chen. Says, thank you very much. I appreciate you giving me tochacha. V'chas v'shalom li l'hakpid b'zeh. Apparently, you know, I guess he wrote in the shayla, you know, I hope you don't hold it against me for writing this to you, Rav Moshe. V'yibit Hashem b'lo neder lo asa od mishat hadlakat nerot bakar av shein b'zeh shemet isur av lo mishum maritain. Says, but you know what? I'm not going to do it anymore because he wrote this to me, even though there is no problem with it and there's no problem with Marzayin either. And he goes on to explain why there's no problem with Marzayin. He says, you know, Marzayin is just with something where most of the times that a person does it, it's asur. And it's just in this one case that it's mutar. So, you know, most of the times that a person eats a cheeseburger, it's, for example, it's cheese and it's a burger. And sometimes it's vegetarian. Okay, not going to get involved. But he says that's when Marzayin applies. However, lasso davar heter mefursam, but everybody knows that it's mutter. Everybody knows that it's mutter to drive in the 18 minutes. And even if your wife already lit candles, everybody knows that the man doesn't accept Shabbos until a little bit later. He doesn't have to accept Shabbos when the wife lights the candles. So everybody knows that it's mutter. So there's really no problem at all with driving. It says, however, mikom akom kevin shemat kodo, kotev sheish chas v'shalom kilkul, since you think that people will think that there's a zilzul when I do this, I think he means when I do this, meaning when Rav Moshe does this. So below neder, I'd love to know historically whether or not people noticed that Rav Moshe used to drive in a car beforehand, and then after writing this tshuva, he stopped driving.
It sounds like he didn't consider himself an Adam Chashuv until he got this letter.
I mean, I think he just didn't even consider the idea that people actually would have made a mistake. He thanks Rav Moshe Metzger for pointing it out.
And he's also not telling anyone else you're not supposed to do it. No. He says, I'm going to accept on myself, yes, not to do it anymore.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, we didn't have time to get into the issue of snow and ice on Shabbos, three-way machlokas we shown him. It's a nice sugya, but we didn't have time for it. Od chazon amoed.
I saw something good in terms of knowing your level and not pretending to be anything you're not. Like most things, I don't remember who said it, but it was talking about saying Kriyat Shema on the night you get married.
Right.
And it was saying that it used to be that you didn't because you wouldn't have kavanah. And they were saying today, you've never got kavanah properly when you're saying Kriyat Shema. So when you get married, right, you're going to have as much kavanah as you know. So you're saying that if you don't say it, actually you're a bit of a balgaiva because you're implying that every other night you've got such incredible kavanah that tonight you won't be able to have.
Yeah, so, similar to the Rama who says that if you don't have kavanah for the first bracha, so then you don't have to go and say it again because in Shmona Esrei, you don't have to go back and say it again because you're not going to have kavanah the second time either.
So, it's nice to be important, but...
But it's funny, Rabbi, though, because what I just quoted in the Rama, in the name of the Rama, he says the opposite for Shema. If you say Shema and you didn't have Kavanah, you have to go back and say it again. He says, because you can manage having Kavanah for one sentence.
Yeah.
So it's